Ducks Uncensored is brought to you by Bracato's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
Bucks Uncensored, midweek edition. Thanks again to all of you that listen to this podcast religiously. It's showing in the numbers. God. Each time I record the podcast, the first thing I do is just go and take a look at what the previous podcast did. Great numbers on the last podcast. Nobody protested that one. You all listened. Thank you. I'm Justin Pulaski, the Commish, at Commish Online on Twitter, facebook.com/Commish Online. We do have some other items to dive into, but obviously Mike Evans and what has transpired over the last couple of days. Unfortunately for the Bucks, he has made it all about himself by protesting, by standing his ground after the game, saying he would continue to protest and sit during the national anthem as long as Donald Trump is president, and then releasing this statement on Tuesday. Quote, "I want to start by apologizing to all the U.S. military members, their families, and the fans who I offended by my actions on Sunday. It was never my intention, as I have tremendous respect for the men and women who serve our country. I have very strong emotions regarding some of the many issues that exist in our society today." Somebody wrote this for him. "I chose to sit as an expression of my frustration towards this year's election. It was very personal for me, as it was for so many Americans. With that being said, I will not sit again during the national anthem because I want to focus my efforts on finding more effective ways to communicate my message, yay, and bring about change by supporting organizations and movements that fight for equal rights for minorities. This Sunday, I will be back to standing with my teammates." That's the right move. And like I said in the previous podcast, Donald Trump is your president, whether you voted for him or not. Protesting is a millennial thing that, great, you get your voice heard, but in the end, it's not going to do anything. And protesting a vote where there was nothing to fall back on, there was no rigging, as was being portrayed before the election. Donald Trump won the Electoral College, and you move on, and he's the president. So if you voted for him, you hope he does a good job. If you didn't vote for him, you hope he does a good job. You know, I find protesting the election itself, and he goes into a little more details here, saying fighting for equal rights for minorities, which he did not say after Sunday's game. He was just protesting the fact that Donald Trump was the president. It's just, I don't know. To me, protests, and it's kids much younger than I am, it's almost like I didn't get my way, so I'm going to pout a little bit. I want everyone to see that I'm not happy with what's going on. Okay. I mean, it's not going to change anything, but go right ahead if you want to protest. Now, when you protest, again, Veterans Day weekend, salute to the troops and all that fun stuff that's, you know, honoring our military, and you sit during the national anthem, you're just a fucking dumbass. I mean, you're just stupid. And I guarantee you he was fully set to continue doing this until somebody pulled him aside. I don't know who. Somebody within the Buccaneer organization pulled him aside and said, you're not doing this anymore. Period. End of story. And quite frankly, I mean, protesting during the national anthem, whether it's for the president or something I would protest about, the awful concession stand food inside Raymond James Stadium. I mean, why are we not all protesting that? I mean, it's bad enough that we have to deal with the shit on the field, but the shit out of the concession stands is almost as bad as what we've seen for the last 7 years on the field inside that stadium. Now, I'm going to try and put that behind me, the food and the play. And I'll act as if the Buccaneers are 1-0 at home. Because, quite frankly, that's all we got. I feel bad for the Bucs as an organization. Because they have taken a beating. I'm not talking about what's happened with Mike Evans. I'm talking about on the field before this happened. I mean, they were taking a beating week in and week out. I had somebody email me saying, man, it's so nice to hear a positive podcast from you once in a while. I literally just emailed him back. I said, and he said, listen, fan of the podcast, it was just hard, you know, hearing, you know, you upset week after week, podcast after podcast. I just wrote him back and said, tell the Bucks to not play like shit. things change. You know, that's not saying everything's fixed. And I think I'm going to have a different tone probably the rest of the season. And I think the turning point was the Falcons game. It was a slap right across my face, and I think across a lot of your faces as well, by reality. Okay, we shouldn't have had high hopes for this season. Shame on us. We learned our lesson, and it's time to evaluate. We'll have more of the evaluation and what Jason Light had to say about his roster and the players on it coming up in just a moment. I do want to play some voice memos. Some people did chime in on Mike Evans. None as crazy as I think you would have thought. And I think a good one to start with is somebody who was in the military, Sean.
Hey, Justin. This is Sean from Fort Myers. Just want to chime in regarding Mike Evans real quick. I'm a former Marine, and I've been asked this actually quite a few times regarding how do I feel about, you know, people, you know, sitting or kneeling for the national anthem. And I personally don't have a problem with it. I always thought personally with me, with my service to this country, that I'm serving this country, fight for this country, so individuals like Mike Evans and Colin Kaepernick can protest. So I always personally thought it was a testament to any country that somebody can do a silent protest and, you know, and they could do that without, you know, other countries that I've been to that someone would get whipped or shot or anything like that. So I don't have a problem with it, but I know that differs from other individuals. So, but those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Your opinion, Sean, your words. You said you fought so that people had the right to protest. I'm guessing you meant to say that you fought so that people were free over here. They had the freedom. They could protest if they wanted to. They could not protest. That sounds a little better than you went over there just to fight so that people could protest. I don't know. I think some people protest for good things. I think a majority of protests are a gigantic waste of time. Just my opinion. I think a majority of protests, a majority of people laugh at. That's not saying all. I think there are a lot of protests, a good amount, that are very, very meaningful that people do take seriously. But come on. And it's the protests that probably don't even get media coverage. You see them, I see them. It's a gigantic waste of time. There's one protester that stands outside of the Home Depot in New Tampa periodically in mornings with a huge sign that says the N-word. N-Depot. And yes, this is Bucks Uncensored, but that's a word that I am very, I don't say, and I don't like it when people say it around me. It's uncomfortable to me. It's as offensive as any word could be, in my opinion. And so although this is an uncensored podcast, that doesn't mean that I'm just going to go slinging around any word that I want to. But that's a protest. The guy standing outside, black guy, stands across the street from Home Depot with a big sign that says N Depot. Yikes. That's a protest that nobody really understands. He doesn't really explain it on his sign. And I haven't really gotten any explanation anywhere else. Don't bother explaining it because it's just he stands out there by himself with a gigantic sign. It's not like he has a movement of people that are joining him in this fight. So Sean makes point that, you know, he's okay with the protests. A lot of people that are not. A lot of people that are disappointed, one of them being John. John?
Hey, Justin, it's John up in the Pacific Northwest. I'm just sending this in to see get your thoughts about Mike Evans and his national anthem protest, and kind of curious what other Bucks fans think too. But me personally, it bugged me all day. I wasn't able to watch the game yesterday because I was working, but I listened to it on radio, so I didn't find out about it till I got home. But I'm just disappointed, and man, I lost a lot of respect for that guy, and it just sucks because he was one of my favorite Bucks, but not now. Thanks, Justin. Keep doing what you do.
Curious as to how many Bucks fans lost respect for Mike Evans, but then gained respect back for him apologizing to the people that he offended, saying that he would not sit anymore, and saying that he would find other ways to fight this fight. I mean, I've shared my thoughts. I don't think that all is forgiven. I don't think that all is ignored with his apology, but I think it's going to be much quicker and easier to sweep under the rug than what it was a few days ago. And again, for an organization that has focused, and trust me, folks, on this, I think it, all the way up to leadership or to ownership, I don't want to say leader. Ownership, proper leadership would probably lead to a lot more wins, but ownership of the organization for the Bucks, they've been very focused on keeping good PR. Let's get rid of bad people. You know, let's get rid of a LeGarrette Blount, getting rid of those guys. Let's re-sign the guys who we feel are the face of the franchise, no matter how good they are, how old they might be getting, or how injured they are, we're going to re-sign them no matter what, because that's what the fans want. I think they've really tried hard to build a positive reputation in this town. And so for the Bucks to finally go out and get a victory 36-10 and dominate the Bears, and for the only thing people are people talk about after the game is Mike Evans sitting, I'm telling you, did not sit well with the PR-focused Glazer family. And I'm not saying that they went and said something to Mike Evans, but I just have a hard time believing that he just thought of all this on his own and said, you know what, I'm going to apologize, and you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to sit anymore. Not after the way he was talking after the game on Sunday. So somebody got to him, told him that shit ain't happening. You go find somewhere else to do it. And I'm going to say this too, because John asked, you know, how other Bucks fans are going to react. You can never make a blanket statement, right? There's a lot of people listening to this right now that are big supporters of Mike Evans, and rightfully so. Hey, guess what? You have the right to support him. Those are freedoms that were fought for you. Same token, on the other side, and probably more of a majority now, people that have lost a lot of respect for Mike Evans. People that won't allow themselves to go all in being a fan of him as a player just because of this one incident. Dumb thing done by a young kid that could have been handled in such a better way. And yes, it's going to be held over his head by a lot of people. Remember, this is a town where I think you can make an argument the most popular player to ever wear a Buccaneer uniform might be Mike Allstott. All-American Allstott. Allstott up the gut. Yeah, there's just... it's a town full of people that idolized Mike Allstott and probably don't idolize somebody sitting during the national anthem. It's the fact. I think we all have to realize that. You don't have to accept it, but you have to realize that that's the fact. And I think because of that, Mike Evans, it's going to take a long time, if ever, that he becomes a true fan favorite. Fans are going to like him when he scores. Okay, they're going to like him when he makes a big catch. Are they going to go gaga over Mike Evans? I think that's tough. I think that's a tough call. And that's tough to assume right now, based on how the organization's fans have responded over the last 20 years and who they've gravitated towards. Dave?
What's up, Kamish? Davis from Las Vegas, aka USPS driver on Twitter. Hey, Seahawks just waived Christian Michael and he said we need a running back. I wonder if that's something they would venture into. Who knows? I guess we'll find out who gets to claim him on waivers, right? As far as Mike Evans goes, I wonder if it was ownership or Dirk or someone that came to him and said, look, you're a badass this year. Appreciate all you've done for us, you know, all the touchdowns and all, but no one person's above the team. And if you want to act like that, well, then we'll take missions into our own hands as well. And obviously his attitude kind of changed overnight. So it'll be interesting to find out what happened behind the curtain. Till next time, love the podcast. Nail it.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. I think the attitude that he had, the attitude adjustment screams that somebody got in his ear and told him to not do that anymore. Told you Jason Light spoke about the players and the makeup on his roster. Apparently this was on the Buccaneers radio network where Jason Light said, quote, we need a lot of mentally tough guys on our football team. A lot of you have made it appointment listening for this podcast three times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. It posts in the morning at joebucksfan.com, in the afternoon at iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean, however you want to subscribe so it comes straight to your phone. You've made an appointment listening because I can see the numbers. I understand it, and I cannot thank you enough, and I cannot thank Bricado's Sandwich Shop enough for sponsoring this podcast. But what you've heard, and I mentioned before that I got an email that there was a Bucs fan that was frustrated because so many of my podcasts had become so negative as of late. Well, they weren't playing good football. And there's still a lot of questions surrounding them moving forward as well. But one thing that I have focused on, and it's become a recurring theme in many of my recent podcasts, was the elimination of losers in the locker room. Identifying a nucleus of tough-minded, winning personalities to build around. I don't care what your status is. I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're a starter right now or a backup. I firmly still believe that the last now 7 games of this season need to be evaluated to find who the players are you can build a championship team around. I think Robert Ayers answered that last week against the Bears. I think Jameis Winston stepped up and played well. But I think it's more than just what we see in a game situation. Game plays a big role. What goes on during practice during the week? What goes on behind closed doors? Jason Light, if you're listening to this podcast, I think it's a little more than we need a lot of mentally tough guys on our football team. I think you just want guys that don't give a shit. And it's not that they don't give a shit about the law or don't give a shit about winning. I'm talking about they don't give a shit when things go wrong because they're so determined that things are going to go right that when things go wrong, it's like, who gives a shit? We're going to make it right. There's not enough of that attitude in your locker room right now. I want guys who are angry. I want guys who hurt when they lose. I don't want guys who shrug it off. I don't want guys who are nonchalant about it. I want guys who stand at a podium and say, we have to get rid of this losing culture. I want a guy like Jameis Winston last year. I want guys who say, enough is enough. Guys who are dedicated to the bigger picture of building a team that other teams are fearful of, not laughing at. Those are the mentally tough individuals I want. But there's different types of mentally tough individuals. And I hope the right mentally tough individuals are brought in. Cliff was partying after the Bucks' victory Sunday night.
What's going on, Commish? Just left Soho. End up running to the Bucks players at the Soho Lounge. I know for a fact seeing Kwan, Joe Harley, Myers especially, over there popping 40 champagne bottles. Like they just won the Super Bowl, man. Shit crazy. Ayers was out there. Bradley. Pretty much, I even think I seen the backup Griffin out there, man. I was like, all right, man, I see y'all boys celebrating that first victory at home this season, this late, you know. But, hey, man, glad to see them young players out there actually, you know, being proud of something at least. It's been a while. But, hey, just wanted to throw that out there. I always listen to your show. Keep doing your thing, man. Keep doing your thing.
I appreciate it. I'm going to do my thing. Don't you worry about that. I don't have an issue with players going out after a football game. After a tough week for me at work, nothing I like more than having a nice, stiff drink. I know mine was in the gutter, but no, I don't have an issue with them going out. And now if they go out before the game, now we got some serious issues. Hey, speaking of issues, Miko Grimes has a lot of those. Sal?
Hey, Justin. I just wanted to comment on Miko Grimes and her comment about Bucks fans, you know, talking about how they leave early and how we're terrible and everything like that. Who the fuck is she to talk shit about us? She doesn't know the shit that we have to go through, the shit that we have gone through for like, what is it now, like 8 years or so? Like, she wants to talk about like how the stadium is like a funeral. Well, I mean, it basically is because for the most part, you know, that's where, you know, the Bucks go to die because they like to lay an egg somehow, during one of their home games. You know, like it was cool that they won this past Sunday, but I mean, like it's only one game this season that we won at home. I don't know. She just needs to be talking shit and shut up. Shut up, Miko, please.
Okay. We need more Sal on the podcast, but we need the angry, I mean really angry, loud, and inflamed Sal. So find that Sal and bring him back, but this Sal was not too bad. I don't have anything to say about Miko. People follow her on Twitter and whatnot. She's as racist as they come, and she is racist, and I can't even take it. So if you want to hang on every word that she says, by all means, go for it. For me, for this Bucks fan, it's empty words, and I just don't have time to waste talking about her or anything she says. Final voice memo comes from Mike, who wants to... Are we moving forward?
Hey, Justin, this is Mike from Wesley Chapel. Glad Evans has apologized and we can move on from this dumb thing. Now we got the Chiefs ahead of us. There are no world beaters on that offense, especially if Jeremy Maclin's not in the lineup. I'm looking for this defense to go out and prove it, that it was them who won the game on Sunday and not the Bears who just lost that game on Sunday. You look at the Bucks' wins, the Bears, the 49ers, Carolina without Michael Orr, Cam Newton, or Jonathan Stewart. Besides that fluke game week one in Atlanta, we haven't beaten anybody good. So this is a prove-it game for that defense. Go out there and show us that we can believe in you. Thanks, Justin. Go Bucks.
A lot of Bucks fans feel the same way. Actually, I had a conversation with my dad earlier this evening. And he asked me point blank, he goes, can the Bucks beat the Chiefs this week? And I said, yeah, they can also get their ass kicked. We just don't know. It's a week by week thing with this team. I think there's a better chance that they lose than they win. But the fact of the matter is they have a chance to win. They have a lot to prove. I think a lot of Bucks fans feel the same way you do. I think a lot of Bucks fans felt the same way you do immediately following that win against the Bears, that the Bears aren't very good. I thought they were better than they were, but I didn't take into account Jay Cutler. I think they're better around Jay Cutler, but he's just not good, especially when you get pressure on him. And the Bucks did brought pressure, and he just was a turnover machine. When you get that many turnovers, you have to dominate the opponent, or it's an embarrassing performance by your own team to not dominate. 49ers are terrible. Carolina had Derek Anderson and Cameron Artis Payne and whoever else. They didn't have any of their key players in on offense. And then I think I used the word fluke when talking about that Falcons game from beginning of the season. So the Bucks still have a lot to prove. I don't know if they have a lot to prove this season. I don't know if you need for them to prove it this season. I think what we need to do is continue to evaluate the roster, and as Jason Light wants, bring in mentally tough individuals to build a tough football team. I'm Justin Pulaski. Thanks to Bricados. They sponsor this podcast. Thanks to JoeBucksFan.com for being the first ones to post it on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. And join me on our next podcast where we break down the Bucks and the Chiefs, a must-win for the Bucks. Every game's a must-win if they want the next week's game to be a relevant game. That's why this week's game is a must-win for them. We'll break that game down coming up on our next podcast, posting on Saturday. And make sure you shoot me your voice memos. Hey, what do you think about this upcoming game? Are you excited? Are you in? Did last week's game energize you? Or are you kind of like Mike just said, just kind of waiting for the Bucks to still prove that they're a team on the rise? BucksUncensored@gmail.com. BucksUncensored@gmail.com. You can record your voice right on your phone and email it to me and hear your voice right on this podcast. At Commish Online on Twitter, Facebook.com/Commish Online, iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. It's Bucks Uncensored, and I nailed it.